lovelies, thank you for joining us on the 44th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On today's episode, we'll be discussing two of my favorite horror films, The Beyond and Suspiria. Just a heads up for you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so listen at your own risk. The Beyond is available to stream on Shudder, and Suspiria is on Amazon Prime. But before we jump into these movies, let's get started with a segment that we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is... Dun-da-da-da! It! With a theatrical release date of September 8th. I know a lot of people have been wanting us to discuss this.
Well, we are. You're welcome.
And we briefly discussed it on Modern Horrors, but I wanted... When we were on Modern Horrors podcast, but I really wanted to wait until we had... a longer trailer with more things in it to really kind of dig in a little more. This film is it is directed by Andy Muschietti, who is well known for his film Mama that came out a few years ago. And it's written and directed by Chase Palmer, Carrie Fukunaga, yes. And Gary Dolperman. Is that how you say it? No, not Fukunaga. Fukunaga and Gary Dauberman. And of course, it's based on the novel by Stephen King. The IMDb summary is, in Derry, Maine, seven friends come face to face with a shapeshifter who takes the form of an evil clown who targets children. Terrible. The way that's written, it's really hard to say.
Yeah.
Anyway. So we watched two trailers. We watched the MTV trailer and the full-length trailer, which is the second trailer that came out. And we have not really discussed them at all. So, Carly, do you want to jump off and start with your thoughts?
Sure. I definitely like the full trailer way better than the MTV trailer. So earlier today when Amy was like, oh, which trailer do you want to do? We talked about this. And I was like, you know, I don't know how many It trailers I want to watch because I kind of want to, like, save the buildup. And I can't help but think, like, I like that, you know, we get a little bit more Pennywise in this, but, like, he has hamster teeth, and I can't, like, it, like, makes it so funny to me that, like, Pennywise scared the shit out of me when I was little, like, to the point where I still don't like clowns today because of that, like, first scene with Pennywise in the drain pipe or whatever. But, like, the hamster teeth, I can't handle them.
No, it's too different for you.
It's not even that it's too different, but it's, like, too ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that he's necessarily less scary. It's just a different kind of scary, and I understand what you're talking about with the teeth. I'm not against this movie. I'm really happy. I think this movie needed to be remade. I like the director. I'm interested in it. I just don't know how much I personally am going to like it, but I feel like there's so much energy and there's so much excitement behind this movie. I just really hope that we're not putting too much on it. Like, we're not putting too much faith in it. Because while I think it's going to be a good movie, I don't know if it can possibly live up to any of these expectations, which are so, so high. I worry a little bit about it, although it has a really great Stranger Things feel. I do appreciate that. I kind of like the MTV trailer because I do get more of a feel for the dialogue and how the kids interact, which is, I thought, was really great and realistic and fun.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I really liked that part, and I love that the kid from Stranger Things is in it.
I love his glasses.
I know. He's so cute. He's so adorable. Cute. And anyway, it looks really, I think it looks good. And I feel, I'm wondering and I'm thinking that there's not going to be the grown-up version of the children in this film. I feel like it's going to concentrate just on them as kids. And
yeah,
I'm really hoping it does.
They said that.
Oh, they did?
Okay, yeah.
I haven't read a lot about it.
It's just focusing on basically VHS 1.
Right.
In
which
this
is
movie.
Good, which it should do. Concentrate on the small part of the story. You can always continue and tell the story more. I mean, it's not like
this
isn't going
to be successful.
Well, it was
always the best part of the story to me, too. I feel like I could have just stopped with the first VHS.
I mean, as much as I love John Ritter, I really could have done without all of him in the Yeah. Sorry. R.I.P. John Ritter. I love you. But I'm excited. I'm excited about it, but I'm not that excited about it. And I'm trying to really reel back any expectations I have and have little to no expectations. But I do think this looks like the physical look of it is fantastic. I like how it's kind of like dreamy, but also dingy. You know, it's got like a very polished, dingy look to it, which is fun.
I totally agree. I think visually this movie is going to be stunning.
Yeah.
Especially with the contrast of, you know, Pennywise and them using all the red balloons and, you know, that contrast. It's definitely going to look amazing. I'm not worried about this movie being like poorly acted in any kind of way.
No.
Like everything feels like it's going to be very, you know, good.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like just wait and see. Like, I don't really have super high expectations for this movie. And I feel like there's certain things of it in regards to Pennywise in the trailer that kind of like, I don't like how when he was in the sewer, his eyes seemed to like float. Like they became like super CGI and they were like super bright and it kind of became a little weird. Like it, like, I don't know. It looked weird to me.
Did you see Mama?
Is that the one with the two little girls?
Yes.
Yes, but I don't remember it.
I feel like this director has a good handle on the CGI, though. And I have faith that, well, there's definitely going to be, there's no way to get around CGI in a movie like this. I mean, it's going to be really difficult to do that. But I think that he has a good handle on it where it, you know, a certain amount of, you can get away with a certain amount of cartoony feel in a movie like this because he's a shapeshifter. He's creating illusions and he's dealing with children like
totally.
That. You can kind of pass. You get a little bit of a pass with the CGI in a movie like this, you know, whereas like a super realistic movie, it sticks out like a sore thumb. In this movie, it can kind of add to the whimsy and fun of it. You know, think like Guillermo del Toro or something like that, where he kind of just plays with CGI and just embraces it instead of trying to hide it. So I'm hoping that that's kind of what this is. And I have high hopes for it, but I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket, so to speak.
I'm trying to just stay open-minded
about
it.
Yes.
I don't want to be too excited about it, but at the same time, I don't want to be too judgy about it.
I'm
really kind of just looking for the story more than like anything else. And
yeah.
I don't know. I'm definitely excited. And this is definitely a movie that I'm probably going to see weekend that it opens.
Yeah.
Totally. I'm hesitant.
I'm hesitantly curious. That's basically how I feel about it too. So I'm glad we got a chance to talk about it. Now we can ignore it for a month or so. Woo-hoo. Until it comes out. Okay, well, let's get started with our Italian horror films that we're talking about today. I'm very excited. Now, before we get started, Carly, before we start discussing them, you haven't seen either of these films before we picked them for the episode, correct?
I had not. I feel like I thought I saw Suspiria, but I don't know if I did in real life.
Okay.
So.
All right. So these are two films that I picked personally because I like both of them. And basically, that's it. Also, they both have really great scores. So just for this episode and just for fun, I'm going to intro each episode with a portion of the score from the movie.
Thank you. we are starting with The Beyond, 1981, the second film in the Gates of Hell trilogy, directed by Lucio Fulci and written by Dardano Sacchetti.
Yeah, and Dardano Sacchetti is, I didn't realize this, like a really big-time Italian horror writer. He wrote so many of my favorite Italian horror films. He wrote all of the Gates of Hell trilogy. He wrote Zombie. He wrote for Bava because he wrote Demons and Demons 2. And he wrote Argento's Cat of Nine Tails. So this is like, I didn't realize this. He is Italian horror. He is like I know to be Italian horror. So I'm like super excited to learn that. Sorry, continue. I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're good. So we have the IMDb summary for this movie. A young woman inherits an old hotel in Louisiana where, following a series of supernatural accidents, quote unquote, she learns that the building was built over one of the entrances to hell. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So funny story. I was in one of my neighborhood's record stores. It just opened. It's called Reanimator Records. Shout out. Love this store. It's in La Mesa, California, if you've ever been there. And they have, like, the man who owns the store is, like, a huge horror nerd like I am. And so he has, like, a billion horror movies, and I got really excited when I went in there, and I was just, like, grabbing stuff off the shelf. And this one, when I was there last weekend, I saw Seven Doors of Death, and it was by Fulci. And I was like, that's weird. I've never heard of that. And I'm reading the plot synopsis, and I'm like, this is The Beyond. This is the plot of The Beyond. And so I got to the front, and he's there, and I'm like, hey, is this the same as The Beyond? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I felt so smart and so stupid at the same time. But apparently it has another name, Seven Doors of Death. So just FYI, if you see that somewhere. So
I like that name. It's a good name.
It is a good name. And it's I mean, it fits it well, you know, but there are the Gates of Hell trilogy. I haven't seen all of them. I was talking on Twitter a bit with Test Pattern Show, and I was saying that I couldn't quite get through The House by the Cemetery. It's just not something I can get behind, but I really love this movie, and I really love City of the Dead, which are part of this trilogy. Sorry, I rambled a little bit.
I love that you rambled, because I had no idea what was going on in this movie.
Well, I mean, that's kind of normal.
I fell asleep a couple times, not going to lie. I will say, though, I hurt my back last week somehow. I wasn't even doing anything. And so I was on some painkillers while I was watching this movie.
Well, I mean, that will do it.
And I was like, what's happening?
Okay, listeners, if Carly shits on either of these movies, let's be gentle with her, because she was on painkillers when she watched them.
Yeah, I was definitely somewhere else.
I will try and not be an asshole, but I might get a little passionate. I'm just saying. Okay.
I want you to, because all I need is that like little click in my brain to like be able to revisit it. I just had no idea what was going on.
Well, that's normal. No one knows what's going on in this movie. That's that's kind of like the beauty of it. And it's kind of the beauty behind most of these movies is that A, the translation is probably terrible. B, the plot is left somewhat up in the air, so that just because it's not about the story as it is about the gore and the craziness behind it. So, I mean, it's not so much of a story as it is like an experience, is okay. How I would say it. Because it's so brutal and like unrelenting that it's impossible not to just watch it in awe, at least for me. And I only saw this movie within the past year. This is like my second or third viewing of this film. I'm not the expert, and I don't claim to be. I'm sure people listening to this might know more about this film than I do. However, what I can say is that the length of time spent on the disturbing images is way more drawn out than you'll see in most movies
Maybe that's why, because I was literally watching it like, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. Oh God, everything's happening.
Music tells you that something's happening. And then you look up and you see something happening. Music for...
Because in both of these movies, it's like really quiet dialogue and then just like in your face music with lots of screaming.
Oh my God, the musical scores in both of these movies is great. Now, granted, it's way better in Suspiria, and this is a little silly, but it sticks in my head like no other. After I watch it, a song, like, I was trying to fall asleep the night after I watched this, and I couldn't get the fucking music out of my head. Like, it just fucking stuck in there. And I mean, that says something. And then when I hear the music, I think about the scenes. So to me, the music suddenly is really disturbing and gory. Although the first time I watched this, I was like, what is this shitty porno music playing over these horrific images? And if anything, that makes it worse, I think. So for those of you who haven't seen it, the basic plot is, as we stated in the IMDb summary, this woman inherits an old hotel in Louisiana, which is silly because it's an Italian film, but, you know, they like to make them take place in America. But she inherits this hotel, and basically all these horrible things. People start dying, terrible things. There's a ghost woman that's blind with a dog that tells her to leave, and she doesn't leave, and then people are dying everywhere in really, really, really horrific ways. And basically it's the end of the world. I mean, that's basically what it is. The gory scenes are so slow and so crafted that to me it's like, that's what it's all about. The rest of it is like a side note. You know what I mean? Like, nobody really knows who the blind woman is. You know, we have ideas, we have thoughts, you know, but we don't really know who she is, how she came to be, how any of this came to be. We just know what the character themselves know and experience what the characters are experiencing. There's a lot of acid and melting and really slow shots. And when you think, surely this can't go on for much longer, it goes on for another like 2 minutes. And you're just like, what is happening? You know,
my brain exploded.
It really does.
Watching this movie. Yeah. My poor brain.
Yeah. You know, even just that first scene with the acid being shoveled on him and his face melting off, I was in love.
Like, oh, we're starting this. Yes. This is just right out the gate.
Yes. No time to waste, my friend. Just gore and blood and pus.
I did really like the last scene that kind of turned into the painting. Oh,
I love the last scene of this movie. Okay, well, let's just jump there. Let's just go there.
That was my favorite part of the movie.
It's great. I mean, because
not
whole...
in like a bad way. Not when I'm like when someone's an asshole and they're like, the ending was the best part.
Right.
Like,
so,
that transition was so cool.
The basement of the basement of this hotel has basically one of the seven gateways to hell. And, you know, someone's murdered on it, kind of opens shit up. So we have the man 60 years before the film, they show like a before the woman gets the hotel, 60 years before that happens, a guy is killed in the basement. He's a painter, and he's the one that accidentally opens the gate, or opens the gate on purpose. We don't really know. And he paints this painting of what hell looks like, right? Of these people laying on the ground, really empty space, but kind of looks cold and emotionless and sad.
It's a very sad painting. It looks so cool.
It does. It's a very cool painting. And we keep getting drawn to this painting, and we keep getting shots of this painting. And the ending just recreates it. And all of a sudden, you realize you're in the painting, and it draws out. And that's the end. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful ending to like a really stark and cold film. So I'm glad you appreciated the ending. That makes me happy.
I did. It was honestly like my favorite part. Like I was like, oh, I was like, I'm glad that we ended on a high note.
Yeah. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. This movie is not plot heavy, and there's not very much talking. And the talking that does happen, you're like, okay. Whatever.
I feel like I would more appreciate the Italian version.
Yeah, there isn't one. This
there
is
isn't?
It. This is it.
All we get.
I mean, this is what we got. So this movie was wasn't even seen in America until 1998, when Quentin Tarantino's production company Rolling Thunder Pictures restored it and put it on DVD. We didn't have shit. We didn't know about it. So it's relatively new to us. And a lot of these old Italian movies, you'll notice they're dubbed. It's just how it is. It's just so silly. It is. It's hard, especially because at least we'll get there with Suspiria. I won't get into it now. But yeah, it is. You have to get over it to just appreciate and enjoy the film. Unfortunately, that's how a lot of them are. But to me, like that's the way they did it in the 70s and 80s. No one wanted to read subtitles, so they dubbed everything. You know, it is a little distracting now because we're used to subtitles. But.
Well, it's funny because especially like, obviously, there are a lot of similarities between like English and Italian where you can kind of like see them, like when they mouth certain words, you're like, wait a minute, like, is this or is this? Like, I knew that these were both Italian movies going into it. And I was kind of like, I'm confused.
Like, well, and sometimes they use American or English or whatever actors. They're not all Italian actors. So sometimes they are speaking English and just dubbing over the English. You'll see this especially with Suspiria, and again, I will get into it. But yeah, that it is a little distracting sometimes because you're like, oh, it fits perfectly, and then oh, that's really not what they're saying.
Yeah. Then I was like, what's happening here?
Yeah, it's not like watching like a Bruce Lee movie where everything's dubbed and you're like, okay, nothing works, and that's fine.
Exactly.
But it's like sometimes it fits perfectly and sometimes it doesn't, so it's almost more distracting. I totally can relate to that. So the interesting thing about that ending scene, by the way, is that the bodies on the ground were actually homeless people that they found on the street, and they paid them in alcohol to be in this movie. So there's like literally naked homeless people at the end of the
so
movie.
So crazy.
That were paid with booze. I have kind of an issue with that, but you know.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. I don't know. Ignore it and move on with my life, like I do. I don't know how to deal with that. And then the book Ebon, which I'm sure some of our listeners will be well aware, is based on like the H.P. Lovecraft world and the Cthulhu mythos. So it's dealing with resurrecting the dead and black magic and things like that. So apparently, I had to look it up because I was like, Ebon. I don't even know if that's how you spell it or say it. I might be saying it totally wrong. But I thought that was interesting. I love how H.P. Lovecraft just like peaks in all these movies where you don't even expect H.P. Lovecraft to exist.
He's got his hands in everything.
He does. Well, did you at least enjoy the gore?
Yes. I mean, like, oh.
It's more intense than you expect it to be, right? It's like...
It kind of prepped me for Suspiria, too.
Yeah. Because it's almost like, oh, look, it's like a cheesy 70s, 80s film from, like, another country. And it looks so old school. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh!
Yeah.
Oh, we're going there.
They are doing it.
Okay. Yeah, it's got... That's like the thing I love about these movies. And again, I'm relatively new to the Italian horror thing. Like I'm new to the world. I've watched quite a few, but that's just from me binge watching like a crazy person. I don't have a lot of history with this or know a lot about it, so I'm learning along as I talk about them on this podcast. So, anything else you'd like to add before we move on to Suspiria?
Nope. Let's move on to your favorite.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to Suspiria, which is, again, another relatively new film to me. I think I watched this for the first time like 2 years ago.
Really?
Yes, believe it or not, I am not that well versed in Italian horror. This is a relatively new obsession of mine. So Suspiria is from 1977. It's the first part of the Mother of Tears trilogy. It's directed by Dario Argento and written by Dario Argento and Daria Nicolodi. The IMDb summary is, a newcomer to a fancy ballet academy gradually comes to realize that the school is a front for something far more sinister and supernatural amidst a series of grisly murders. So I've seen this movie maybe 5 times. And every time I watch it, I love it more. And I keep thinking, surely I will not love this movie any more than I already do. And then I love it even more the next time I watch it. I just watched this yesterday and was kind of like not into it, not wanting to watch a movie at all. And by the end of it, I was just like, God, I love this movie so much. So always a good way to tell if I really love a movie is watching it when I don't really feel like watching it and seeing how I feel about it. So this was your first viewing, and I know you were on painkillers, but please don't break my heart. How did you feel about Suspiria, Carly?
I watched this movie twice because I wasn't hugely into it the first time that I watched it, and I was like, but Amy loves it so much, so I need to watch it again. And I will say I definitely liked it better the second time. The first time, I don't know what it is, but like, it must be the painkillers. I'm just like having a mental block with like, I knew what was going on in this movie. Like, I understood it. But I think knowing what it was about, I thought it was something different. I also thought I'd seen this movie before. I have no idea what movie I thought I saw. But I really, there were a lot of things that I really liked about this movie. I really liked the main old evil witch lady.
Yeah.
The like headmistress or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I liked all the people in this movie. I thought that they were like, all the characters were really interesting. Again, though, with the loud and the quiet talking and like, I don't know why. It just like made my head fuzzy.
Now, what about the Goblin score, which is really, really beloved by the horror community? Goblin is like where it's at for us. How did you feel about the music?
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic, right?
Yeah.
It's like unparalleled.
The music is what made this movie for me.
You know, Goblin has performed this live multiple times. And do you know how I would give...
I feel like that's something that they would totally do at the Hollywood Bowl.
I would like cut off my leg so I could go see this. Like, I would love so much to see this live. Like, it's not even funny.
I'd be interested to see it live too.
They use everything. They use like the bouzouki, which is a Greek guitar type instrument. They use a lot of percussion. They use a lot of like waters with containers and hitting them with hammers. They have like the crazy whispering.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like it's just so perfect. The rhythm of some of these sections is so violent and borderline annoying and just like amazing, amazing representation of what's happening without actually anything happening. It's crazy how immersed you get in the movie just by the music alone.
I will say, I after seeing this movie, I am actually excited for the remake.
Don't say that.
I know that that's probably terrible.
It is terrible.
It's so terrible. But I'm curious more than anything.
I mean, Carly, you hear me talk, and the people at home, they hear me talk about remakes, and I try not to hate on remakes too much because I feel like it's bringing horror to a new generation and blah, 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 whatever the fuck I usually say. But this movie, I am just so scared shitless of a remake. I just don't want, because it's not like people have seen this. I mean, people have seen it in the horror community, but in real life, like normal people, they have no clue what Suspiria is. Ask a normal person on the street what Suspiria is. Most of them won't know, or they'll say, oh, it's a new movie coming out. A lot of people don't know about this movie.
I feel like Tilda Swinton can like handle that though. Like can handle that bitch.
But that's the
lady.
Thing. We have all these like movie star names in the movie. And granted,
that's very true.
I love Tilda Swinton. But like think about all the horror movies that have big name actors in it, think about how many of those are actually good that you enjoy.
I definitely get what you're saying.
I'm just saying. That's
all. But even the remake of Carrie, like with Chloe Grace Moretz, who's going to be in the remake, yeah. Like I didn't really have a problem with anybody's like acting in it, but like I feel like Chloe Grace Moretz is like way too pretty to be Carrie.
Way too pretty to be Carrie.
But at the same time, I thought that, what's her face? Like her mom, Julianne Moore, she fucking owned it.
Julianne Moore does own it.
Like she was phenomenal as Carrie's mom.
Well, yeah. And when I heard that Carrie was being remade and then Julianne Moore was the mom, I was like, oh, perfect.
Yeah. She's going to be amazing.
Here's the thing. You can have amazing actors in a terrible film. It happens all the time. They're also what is Suspiria without this soundtrack? What is Suspiria without the Technicolor? What is it going to be? How could it possibly be what it is? I get
what you're saying, because especially the music is what like literally turned the switch off for me.
There is something about this movie that is so specifically crafted. The sets, the color, the music is what makes the film. It's the heart of the film. Fuck the plot, fuck everything else happening. Without the music, the color, the shots, this movie is nothing.
That's it's very nothing. True. This film is so stylized.
That's the heart of this movie. If you're taking all of that away, what are we going to be left with? And if we're left, and granted, maybe they're doing something that I can't possibly understand, and maybe it's going to be amazing. Maybe. But
okay.
I can't fathom this movie without those elements. And they've even said, oh, we're not going to have the color and we're not going to have the music. I'm like, well, then fuck, what are you leaving
me with?
Did
they really say that? Okay, yes. Apparently I have no idea. Never mind. Fuck me. I'm totally wrong.
I'm just saying. Okay, we haven't even really dug into the movie at all. I'm just blabbering because I'm drinking rosé with ice.
Very excited to talk to you about this because, like, there's just elements of this movie. Like, this happens to me a lot with movies where I'll sit down and I'll watch something and I'll just be really kind of, like, unsure about certain things or how I feel about certain things, but I'll know, like, this movie, I loved the score of it. I loved the look of it. Like, that first scene where the chick is, you know, crashes through the ceiling is
yes,
awesome.
It's amazing. The heart stab.
Yeah, the stab heart thing.
Oh, my
God.
That
was, like, when we were talking about gore in the other movie, I was thinking about the heart stab scene in this movie.
Yes.
There are some phenomenal things here, and I do think that you're correct that the story-wise, like, yes, there's a plot. Yes, there's a story. But that's not what makes this movie.
It's not what makes it special.
Yeah. So I think you're right. Now, I wouldn't say that excited is the word, but curious. Kind of like the It thing. I'm curious to see what they're doing with this movie and why they decided to choose this movie to remake, I guess.
Well, I think the interesting thing about It is that we needed a It remake.
Yeah.
Okay.
That first
miniseries. The original It is not all that. Okay. It's not great. Nobody thinks it's great. Okay. People like it for nostalgia reasons, and people love Pennywise. People love Tim Curry as Pennywise.
Well,
it's
that's
terrifying.
But it's
not a good movie. It needs help. This movie is like its own thing.
Agreed.
I have I try not to hate on it, and I try not to hate on remakes. I generally, like, really try not to. I just can't fathom it. I can't figure it out.
I'm usually grumpy on remakes.
I'm okay on remakes usually. I don't expect them to be my cup of tea. I expect them to be for someone else, and that's why they're being remade, so they can bring the movie to another generation. I'm cool with that.
What was their did they have a reason for remaking this?
No, I don't know why. To make money, I guess.
I wonder if, like, this Italian director is just like, hey, I'm going to pick this movie out of my catalog of movies
to redo. It has its own following and people love it. But let's take away all the reasons people love it and remake it. Doesn't make sense to me. The sets in this are fucking, like, there's nothing like it. I feel like I'm in Disneyland, like a really dark Disneyland, right? It's like, it's a small world, like some of the scenes, set design. I'm like, wow, it's so dreamy and cartoony and, like, just, and Dario Argento was saying that, Snow White, the Disney version of Snow White, was a heavy influence when he was creating this film, because we have, like, a doe-eyed, innocent girl being led through this by an evil, witchy queen, and so a lot of it has that cartoon feel to it. I just love it so much. I just love it so much because it just has so much character. A lot of movies are afraid to have this much character, afraid to have this, like, this technicolor look to it. The blues and the greens and the reds, especially the reds, are so pure.
It's very vibrant and beautiful.
It's very
vibrant. And even the design, like, everything was, it just seems like it was so meticulously thought out.
It was, none of it was an afterthought. None of this was done in post. It was like, let's figure this out before we do everything and make it look perfect. I mean, it's just insane. And the gore, when there's gore, is so effective. The buildup when there's no gore is also very effective. Like, just picture the scene when she's in the bathroom and before the bat comes in and you just like, oh, what's in the window? All the window scenes, very effective to me. Even the one in the beginning where she's looking out and you see the black slip and the black stockings flowing in the breeze, and you're just like, what is she looking at? What is there? And, you know, it's just like a silly pair of eyes that's not actually scary, but it's effective because we got this crazy music and we got this amazing set. I mean, it's just, I'm talking so much because I love it so much.
I like it. I like that you are so excited about it.
I am. What about the maggot scene, Carly? What about the maggots? Falling from the sky.
So gross.
Into their hair.
So gross.
So, so gross.
The bat scene was a little ridiculous. I was laughing at the bat scene.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little ridiculous. But
because it just made me think of Sesame Street. So I laughed. Like someone's standing there, like, moving the thing up and down.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the same thing in the Beyond with the spiders, where we have, like, two real spiders and then a bunch of, like, weird mechanical spiders behind it. So there's going to be a little goofiness. It's the 70s and 80s. Like, shit's going to be a little goofy.
I love all the, like, glass in people's faces.
Yes. Or the razors, like when she falls into the razor room. The razor wire. Oh, oh. It's just so good. It's just so good.
Made me think of Saw.
Apparently, yeah, there was definitely a Saw scene. But that was Saw stealing from this movie.
Exactly.
Not the other way around. Yes. Yeah. But in the little mini documentary I watched on my Suspiria DVD, Dario Argento was talking about how the first version of the script, the girls were all young, like 8 to 10 years old.
Oh, weird.
And yeah, and it's all about their relationship with their teachers. So he eventually changed it because the producers didn't want to deal with having children actors on set and all of that.
Yeah.
Stuff that goes along with it.
Smart
so
move.
They made them older, but he wanted to still keep their childlike innocence and life. So he placed the handles on the doors higher, like shoulder length, instead of lower, so that you kind of feel like they're in this big space and they're smaller. And I thought that was really interesting and effective.
That's really interesting. I didn't notice that at all.
But then we're also left with this like childish dialogue with this Sarah snakes. I hear that people with S names are sometimes snakes. And they like stick their tongues out at each other like they're five. Like that makes more sense now knowing that, because I know he kept some of that dialogue to kind of keep it feeling youthful.
That's which very to me, true.
It's a little ridiculous, like, but yeah. That scene really sticks out like a sore thumb, but it makes sense knowing that he originally wrote this for young girls, and that sounds like something young girls would say. But
it made me laugh also in the beginning where she's like, the door blew open and I was scared. Like, there was like this really awkward, and I was just like, okay, I gotta get back into that like dove situation. Like,
yeah, some of the dialogue is silly, and I wonder if it's just a translation sometimes. But Jessica Harper's American, and she, you know, she plays our main character. So we have some American actors, we have some German actors, we have some Italian actors, and they're all speaking their native tongues here. So we have people speaking German, people speaking Italian, people speaking English in the movie. And they just kind of let the actors speak in their native language and then just dubbed over it because they were going to have to dub over it anyway. So
it's really interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting when you know that. That's why when Jessica Harper talks, you're like, oh, okay, Susie Banyan, her voice and her mouth fit perfectly. But then we have these other characters where we're like, oh, that's not at all what it's supposed to look like.
Right.
And okay. You know? Oh, man. I love this movie so much, Carly. I wish you were as excited about it as I was.
Me too. There's so many things about this movie that I really like, which is why I told you that. After we speak, I'm probably going to watch it again.
I really hope you do. And I really hope you like give us more of an update on how you're, you know, after you're done with your painkillers, because if you're back, rewatch
it. I might watch
re-experience
them sober.
It. Yeah. Good grief. Let me know how these thoughts are progressing, and we can revisit and we can rediscuss maybe in our final segment of an episode. I would love to hear your evolving thoughts, because honestly, how I feel now about it and how I felt about it upon first viewing are very different. And I don't know that I loved it as much as I do now on my first viewing. I think that I felt I liked it and I felt the need to watch it again, but I didn't love it as much as I love it now.
I honestly feel like what I was focusing on because of what I liked so much about it were like costumes and scenery. And obviously music, because that's what plays over. But like I was so focused on, and this again may have been the painkillers, I was so focused on like all the like the paintings, like because they were just not even like hanging paintings, just like full wall paintings, and like everything like in all of the rooms there was just like hand painted wallpaper, and like, you know, like the stair painting in the back of the girls when they're all talking and the crazy older ladies there, like there's just so many beautiful background pieces that I feel like I focused on more so than like what was actually happening.
Well, it's fucking genius.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love it's gorgeous. That about this movie, and it adds so much to like the whimsy and the fantasy and the, you know, the fairyland, whatever, Disney. I mean, he based this on, he was thinking of Disney when he made this, and it feels like it. And I love the, you know, just the turn the blue iris and then the secret doorway. Like, that's my favorite thing ever. Put a secret passageway in your movie and it's instantly amazing to me. I love secret passageways. I love them.
So good.
Yeah. I'm just, and that came to Daria Nickelodeon like a dream, she said. Like, she came up with this idea for the ending. She basically dreamt the whole ending of this movie. Do you have anything you want to add? We can move on.
I don't. I think I said everything. I love the costumes. I love the music. I love the scenery. Just getting on board with everything else.
Oh, wait.
Not in a bad way.
I forgot to mention, fun fact.
Mention it.
The woman who played Helena Marcos, who really doesn't have much actual screen time in the movie, apparently was a 90-year-old ex-hooker Dario Argento found on the streets of Rome. So just saying, she's uncredited in the movie, probably because of that. I just thought that was...
That's amazing. I mean,
she really has very little screen time. She's just basically in makeup and then gone. She's invisible for a lot of it, or she's a shadow.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I thought that was...
She'll always be with us.
Apparently in Italian horror movies, I like just randomly find people. Oh, also, apparently both of these movies, blind people with dogs. That's a thing in Italian horror that's important, apparently.
That get eaten by their... The dogs eat
that's
the
true.
People.
They both get of them. Eaten by dogs.
Yeah.
That's true.
They both do. I was watching, it's in The Beyond, I was watching that, and I was just like, fuck, that guy is going to eat her. Like, yeah, that dog's beating off that weird ghost demon, but she's in trouble. She's got those weird contacts, and she's a goner.
Gotta watch out for those weird contacts.
Yep.
Where you can see the irises through the contacts.
Yep. Your dog will eat you.
Your dog's going to eat you. Don't put those contacts in.
Your German Shepherd. Weren't they both German Shepherds?
They were. Yeah. I don't know that the dog in Suspiria is a German Shepherd, but it looks similar to a German Shepherd.
It did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on.
On that note.
Yeah. Let's move on to our newest segment that we like to call...
Social Media Question of the Week.
This week's question is... You put all your money into buying a hotel. Your plumber dies a gruesome death in a cellar, and a second body is also found in the cellar. All the while, a mysterious blind woman tells you that you should leave. Do you go and lose your life savings, or stay and suffer the consequences?
So curious as to what people said here. All right, so on Twitter we have MJHogan29, who says, take care of it in groups of three with the door always open. Not 100% foolproof, but worth a try before giving up. That's fair. It's very educated.
I wouldn't do it, but sure.
At Boss Captain Ross says, clearly there's just some health and safety issues that need some work done. As for the blind lady, everywhere has asshole neighbors.
Okay.
She's trying to be helpful.
I see that.
At Cake of Doom says, just ride it out. Plumbers are 10 for a penny, or 10 a penny. Let the basement do whatever creepy basements need to do.
Wow. Tough guys. Bunch of tough guys.
Seriously.
At The Giant Bee With You says, you don't have to tell me twice. Bye, money. Nice spending you. I'm out.
Sounds about right.
Ditto. Mike from the Horror Junkies podcast says, I'm in it for the long haul. The dead bodies add to the attractiveness of my hotel, and I'll deal with the consequences when they come.
Another brave one.
Too brave. Too brave for your own good. Justin from the Horror Business says, those consequences might be might be horrific tarantulas, so I guess I just lost my life savings.
That's true. Spiders.
Thank you, Justin. I just love Justin's insight.
It's great.
That was so great with having them on last week.
That was so much fun.
That was so much fun.
I love those guys.
Yeah.
At JPaw21JNR says, nah, fuck that. Make a fire, burn it down, and blame the blind lady, and collect on the insurance.
Yes.
Thinking of every angle here. I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. On Instagram, we have Black Cat Horror Memes. I'd call in Ed and Lorraine Warren. Then, after they don't find anything, we'd collude and sell the rights to our story, quote unquote, to Blumhouse, so we can all make a pretty penny.
I mean, Black Cat is smart.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And then Creature Pod says, if you refuse to heed a clear warning for a hotel you had no investment in, you deserve to exist permanently in the wastelands.
Brutal. Love it. And then on Facebook, finally, we have Tommy B, who says, I leave, but at least try and sell the place to a sucker. If it's the blind old lady trying to Scooby-Doo me, though.
At least you'd make your money back, though, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's possible.
I feel like I would also try to sell the place.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd be out.
I'm in on the burning it down and collecting on the insurance money. Then you can try and salvage your money back without having to subject anyone else to dying a terrible death.
Accurate. But what if you don't get your money back?
I mean, at least I'm not killing a bunch of people.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, really, I'm a hero. Even if I go to jail for arson, I'm still technically a hero. So
that's true.
And, you know, free food and shit and healthcare in jail. Just saying.
That's true.
Yeah.
I visit you.
Thanks, Carly.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, let's close out by talking about what's going on with us. What you got going on other than your back dying and
no things. I've literally okay, so I've been basically in bed. I did go to work today. Since the last time that we recorded. So last Tuesday. I think I tried to go to work Wednesday, it didn't work out. I went to the doctor and then to get food twice. Other than that, I've been basically in bed. I watched the entire series of Sex and the City.
Oh my God.
The whole series. And it was glorious.
Did you sleep? How did you get through all of that?
They're only half hour episodes.
Girl.
I zoomed through.
Oh my God.
To be fair, I started it. I started it before I hurt my back. So okay. I think I was like halfway through the second season by the time that I was like just like literally sitting in bed for 12 hours watching Sex and the City.
Oh my God.
It was amazing. I would do it again. I love that show so much.
I love it too.
I feel like that might be all I watched.
I would hope so. How would you have time to watch anything else?
I did see Dunkirk. That's where this all happened. I was sitting in the chair at Dunkirk. It started with like a knot in my back, kind of. It was super good. Yeah. I really liked it. It was beautiful. And I really liked... So obviously there's not really like character development because it's just like telling the story of like what happened. But I really liked the way that it was filmed because it was kind of like there was like no timeline really. Like it would show this is what happened to these people and then this is what happened to these people. And then this kind of meets that. And I don't know. It was really interesting. And then Harry Styles was in it and I was really confused because I didn't know that Harry Styles was in it. And so when he arrived – the rest of the movie, I was like, is that Harry Styles? That's not Harry Styles. Is that Harry Styles? I think that's Harry Styles. And that was pretty much my inner monologue the entire movie.
Well, that sounds like you had a very productive week.
Yep.
I myself have been watching a lot of horror movies.
Good for you.
I don't know why I did it.
I was on a Carrie Bradshaw binge.
Well, that's cool. I have those moments, too. And then I have moments when I'm like, I need to watch all the horror movies at once. This week, my movies were The Loved Ones, which I want to do an episode on it. So I don't want to talk too much about it, but I fucking absolutely loved it. And also The Gate, which is an older movie, which is kind of childlike. And it's so, so much fun. I know that that's like a favorite of a lot of people. And I saw it when I was shopping for used horror DVDs. And I saw it and I was like, yeah, I'm getting that. It was fantastic. And Tony and I both loved it. You know, not too much else. I'm not, for some reason, my comedy of choice right now to watch as I'm falling asleep is That 70s Show. Not sure why.
That show's great.
It sometimes is great. It sometimes is terrible.
The first, I don't know how many final seasons.
The first
seasons
couple
there
seasons are good. Yeah.
The best thing about that show is definitely the cast camaraderie though. Like they just play really well off of each other. Even if like the show isn't successful, like they still interacting with one another is successful, I think.
Yeah. I honestly think I started watching it because I came off of Freaks and Geeks and like was not ready to leave. Was not ready to leave that time period too much. So it's fine. I'm just like watching it like as like a something to put on in the background and I'm enjoying it just fine. But The Loved Ones and The Gate, I recommend both of those, by the way. I know a lot of people have seen those already. But like I said, I'm trying to watch movies that most people have seen that I'm still catching up on. So that's those ones. And then just to remind you guys, we have an anniversary episode coming up. So we will be taking listener questions, talking about whatever you want us to talk about. You give us a topic, we'll discuss it. Send those thoughts to our Twitter, send it to Instagram or Facebook, send it to our email, finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com, and we will talk about them on the episode. If there's something you're like, I wonder how Amy and Carly feel about Terminator, for instance, maybe you care. Send us a message. We'll discuss Terminator for a little bit. So it'll be that kind of episode. Please send those in. We've already got quite a bit of submissions, but we can certainly take more and are happy to take more. So send those on over. We probably are going to be taking submissions for another week or so, and then we'll shut it down.
I'm excited.
I am so excited for our anniversary episode. Not just because we get to skip watching two movies for a week, but also because we get to just kind of talk and shoot the shit and have conversations about whatever people want us to talk about.
This is going to be fun.
It's going to be a good time. So thanks to Troy from Kate Bastard for a song sequencing the drone and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit finalgirlshorrorcast.com for more information on them. And also, if you want to get stickers, I've gotten quite a few responses from stickers, finally, especially from you UK listeners. Keep them coming. I have more stickers, and I'm happy to give them away. Email us, finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com, or send us a private message on one of our social media platforms, and we'll send some directly to you.
Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
You know, I was thinking we never really talk about downrightcreepy.com very often, but they have a lot of great articles and things on there to read. So I urge our listeners to go on there and visit and interact and check out some of the other podcasts that are on there. Just because we got some good stuff. We're lucky enough to be part of a lovely network, and I want to make sure that our listeners are aware of that and check it out every once in a while.
Yeah,
yeah, we like our little network family.
We do. They're great.
They really are great. We like people. Sorry, I'm drinking rosé with ice cubes, guys. I'm like basically an old lady. I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
I like it.
Life doesn't make sense anymore. So next week, Carly.
Yes.
We are doing some fun movies.
We are.
We're gonna be doing anthology movies directed by women.
Woohoo!
So we'll be doing Southbound, which is on Amazon, and XX, which is on Netflix. So if you haven't checked those out, you should. They're fun. Some people like them more than others. They're kind of like, I feel like they're very polarizing films. So it'll be a kind of fun and interesting segment to do, I think, for us. We haven't done too many anthology movies.
We haven't. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm excited to do these two movies.
I am too. Have you seen XX yet?
No, I've been meaning to watch it, but then I know that we were planning on doing it this month, so I held off.
Yeah. Well, I am excited to do it, and I'm excited to talk about them. So tune in next week when we discuss these movies. And until then, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye! Bye.